Hi, everybody. This is the Council Affairs Committee for Tuesday, August 11th, 2026. We're going to start with introductions. I'm Chuck Adams, one of the co-chairs. Anna, go ahead.
Anna Brenzuela,
I will
Council
call you right back, if that's okay.
Member. Oh, Bill, you're on.
Thank you.
And co-chair of the Council Affairs Committee.
There we go. Jan.
Hello, everybody. Jan Oskarsson, council member.
Andre.
Andre Robertson, newly appointed council member.
There we go. Johnny.
Hello, everybody. Johnny, also newly appointed council member. Just got my letter from Andre, from the mayor this morning.
Great to see you. TJ.
Hi, everybody. TJ Lee, Miyake, he, him, council member.
Irma.
Hi, Irma Parada, council co-chair.
Anna.
Hi, Nali, council member.
Bill.
Hi, Bill Bloom, HIV Health Services, ex officio member.
Great. Floor.
Flo Roman, HIV Health Services.
Great to see you.
See Care Connect. Good to see you too.
Beth.
Hi, Beth Mary, HIV Health Services.
And then we'll go with Kat.
Kat, council staff.
And Mark. Well, we know he's here. So if we could pull up and review the draft for August 11th.
Chuck, I might have missed it. Did you also introduce Natalie?
No, I didn't. Sorry about that. She was on my off my screen. Go ahead, Natalie.
I was hiding. Hi, Natalie, HIV Health Services.
All right, thank you. I was just doing who was on my screen, and you were at the very end. Okay, so let's look at the agenda really quickly and see if there's any changes or anything like that. If not, we'll approve that by consensus. And then we can go on and review the July 14th draft minutes. If anybody sees anything want to change, just let me know. If not, we'll approve that by consensus also. Are there any announcements from council members? I don't see any hands up. Any for public? Don't see any public. So then we'll move on to, how about staff? Is there any staff announcements?
Not really an announcement. Has everyone here received a response yet from our mayor's director of appointments?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
everyone has. So Andre hasn't received his. Anyone else?
I received
you. Okay. So it looks like everyone did. Okay.
I didn't get anything. I mean, I haven't talked to anybody from the mayor's office.
Oh, you haven't talked to them at all. Okay. So did you not get an email from
Andre?
No,
from
I didn't.
Andre requesting a meeting?
No, I didn't.
Oh, not for you, Jan, either. Okay, so Jan and Anna. Okay.
Mark, you know what? When I spoke to him during my interview, he said he was going to do the renewals first and then do the new members stuff separate because he thought that.
Jan and Anna wouldn't be considered new at this point.
Okay.
I don't know if they were up for renewal in this round, though. They are too new to be up for renewal.
There you go. That makes perfect sense. Thanks, TJ. Thanks, Kat. Okay, so it sounds like everyone talked about them. Excellent news.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mark, if you have anything else. Okay. Then we're ready for the HIV Care Connect report from Floor. You got the floor.
Hi. How's everyone doing? Am I going to share the screen or is Kat?
Yes, okay. You can share the screen.
Okay, great. Thank you. So what I'm going to show you guys is pretty much a rough draft. And we should have it fully completed by the time we have to present. We've been working on it. So let me share my screen now. I don't have the ability to, oh, never mind. I do. All right. Can everyone see my screen?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So this is a snapshot of our 2025 calendar year, and this is the first time we are using solely relying on the data from HIV Care Connect. Last year, we had a little bit of the data presented with Aries and some of the new changes, but this year we're solely relying on HIV Care Connect. So our report might look a little bit different. And these are the individuals that have participated and helped us in the presentation of this report. I give a little overview. I don't know how detailed you want me to be, if it's the full presentation. Please let me know. But I can
Yeah,
if.
no need to go over the full presentation, just
Okay.
broad strokes for sure.
Okay, great. So just basically what I'm going to talk about, what HIV Care Connect is, what we expect our end users here in San Francisco to go over, some of the reporting data facts, going over the calendar year. And I think the biggest change is obviously this is all going to be on HIV Care Connect data. We'll review the clients that are receiving Ryan White funding and all funding, EHE funding, all general fund, any funding coming from HIV Health Services. And we'll take a look at a snapshot of clients that are receiving primary care. Obviously, the data is self-reported. We'll talk about a little bit of the unknown. We'll share the breakouts of what is considered to be the total client served, EMA-wide, plus the breakdown of every agency. This year, we're doing a little bit different. Instead of doing current gender, we're doing sex at birth for the EMA. And then we're doing the breakdown of age. This one's going to be a little bit interesting. We've had to do a different formula to gather that data from HCC. Right now, HCC doesn't have the ability for us to fine-tune specific ages. Although we do get the output, we have to do a little workaround to get the full ages for our patients, specifically around the ages that the Planning Council has suggested in years past, which is the breakdown, excuse me, of 45 through 59. Thankfully we've been able to do it, but we're working on getting some of that. We're working on our race data, our breakdown for the race in our current living situation. And we'll go over the details to what stable, temporary, and unstable is. We'll talk about a little bit some of the notes. This is last year's notes, so we can ignore this. But we will be talking about some of the data changes and some of the reports that are available right now. We're at some, the good news is all the data's there. We're optimistic that we'll be able to get the exact details we used to get in the past. Right now, we're able to get ART, but viral load right now, we are getting the viral loads, but what happens is sometimes a viral load could be repeated, and it's not necessarily just counting out that one. So we're going to tweak some of this, and we may or may not continue to include it the way we have it. We have the breakdown by race and age and by gender, and gender specifically looking at sex at birth. So those are some of the changes that we're going to be making. And then just some general FAQs. So I don't know if anyone has any questions for me at the moment. Yes,
I have a
Mark.
couple of questions. I wonder if you could pull that back up for just a moment. There are a couple of slides I wanted to just to
Sure.
look at. The one at the very end, when I think it was viral suppression by age or viral load, perhaps. It was near the end. Yeah, there we go. So,
This one.
okay. So I wonder, well, 65 and over is definitely senior. I was just noting the contrast between the prior slide, which showed an age breakdown, by
Right.
up to 54. But I think this still captures what we want to see for our eldest population. So never
Yeah.
mind. And then the other
Unfortunately,
question,
this
yeah.
is how we're going to get it for this particular age breakdown because of the way the HCC reports are ran right now. We don't have the ability to tweak the age with our predecessor at the moment. And we're hoping, we're optimistic, a lot of good things are happening. And the data's there. It's just right now we're having a couple of limitations with HCCs to the specific, the specifications that we once used to have very detailed in the past.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it'd be great to see a obviously a more exploded breakdown, but I think having the 65 and over is a key thing to see who our what how our most senior clients are doing. Now, can you go back to the slide that was shifted from gender identity to sex at birth?
Absolutely.
Did you see much of a change in the demographics there with the switchover?
I can't remember off the top of my head, but there was a change as far as individuals that identify as male to female transgender and female to male transgender. It was like at 1% last year. Let me take a look if I
Oh, this is
can.
very small. I see.
Yeah, it's a very small change. If I could just pull up last year's data, I see Beth's hand and a couple of other people's hands. I don't know if you want to share and jump in, Beth, as I
Not
pull the
including, I
data.
have a question about the overall viral load. I thought we were leaning against not including the viral load data at all this year because the HCC report was pretty bad, and we have the backup of doing Epic data reporting for not quite the whole population. But yeah, like I feel like there's a chance those slides just might have to be deleted this time if we can't get the data, and we just have to come back and do a supplemental presentation in another month once the state
You're
fixes that
right.
report.
You're right. I think that's what we decided last. Yeah, you are absolutely right.
Yeah, so we basically have those three options. Like we could present the data as shown in HCC, which we know is wrong, like pretty substantially wrong for viral load suppression. The data, as we're saying, the labs flowing in just fine and getting reported just fine, but their QM HabQM report is just inaccurate right now. So we could show inaccurate data, which we don't want to do at that one. So we're hoping you wouldn't want that either. Or we for a couple weeks we plan to go to backup process where like something like 90% or more of the clients are actually in DPH Epic programs. And so we can pull a report on that and show that same data arrayed in much the same way. It just isn't quite all the clients like we're used to from HCC reporting. So like any of the programs that aren't DPH ambulatory care would just be excluded by virtue of missing data source at the moment. We can still do that. There's a new little lab error that made us think maybe now is not the time because a few unsuppressed aren't getting in suddenly, which is just something we've discovered over the last month or two and we're trying to resolve, but probably won't be resolved by the end of the month. So it's substantially accurate. That's like 95 plus percent accurate for 90 to 95% of the data. So we could show those same slides with pretty good data with two caveats, or we could just come back when the data is solid in HCC. So I'm sorry to
I think
have a lot of bad
I think
news.
95% solid, 5% iffy is pretty good. It's just it's
Okay.
such an important thing to see,
Yeah.
basically. That if it was much below 95%, I would say just come back and do it. But like 95% is not the worst. I mean, that's not
Okay.
exactly like covered in glory, but it's not the worst.
So we'll keep those slides in with that caveat. Yeah.
Okay,
And then
TJ.
to answer your question, Mark, I did look at last year's and there's a it's about it used to be 5% identified individuals that were transgender, and this time just as other with sex at birth, that's the difference. So about four and a
Okay.
half percent.
Okay, TJ.
Thanks, Chuck. So I wanted to go back to the sex assigned at birth slide. I
Sure.
actually, I mean, I appreciate that gender identity now for people would be a small number, but I just have a bad feeling that like if some trans people are seeing this report, they're and not having their current gender identity listed as well as maybe sex at birth, that we might get a lot of pushback. I can think of a few previous trans council members who would really be irritated by not having that.
So yeah, with TJ's question, it occurs to me, does HCC still, would you be able to run a report that actually shows people who identify as M to F or F to M? Because that could just be the slide that follows right afterwards. So we'd be able to capture sex at birth as well as trans identity, which is obviously still a very important marker for the council now. Okay.
We do have the ability to track transgender male to female and female to male. We do have that ability to track it. We were just trying to, I don't know if Beth wants to expand a little bit on this.
Oh, I think we know.
Yeah,
It
we
was
know,
my
right?
idea, and I did know it would have that downside, which is a huge downside. And you can advise us to not go the direction we were aiming. There are an increasing number of grant terms and conditions and that are emanating out of the executive orders. And so far, like, we are legally barred from having to implement any of those things. But we know this gets posted online. So we had thought about giving that information verbally and not in the PowerPoint presentation. That's still inflammatory, I understand, but like we'd just rather not. And we were thinking race ethnicity has the same problem in current form. So like we were thinking of kind of having a verbal and a PowerPoint version for this year only, hopefully. I think what I'd say is, as far as reporting goes, to HRSA, HRSA still has reporting requirements around ethnicities, and so that's still like part of our reflectiveness. So that might be something that's like triggering for a certain administration, but it's still something that's basically seen as a requirement that we obviously have to have a certain level of reflectiveness within the council itself. So I think there's that there. I have noticed, of course, in the reflectiveness document they have taken out trans identity entirely. So I think so I understand. I totally understand why you might want to why you might want to have that done verbally or in a separate slide or however you want to do that, totally. But I think with ethnicity, we're still safe because that's still, that's still being portrayed by HRSA as information that's needed.
That makes a lot of sense, and that aligns with what the RSR is still. They no longer accept gender, but they still require race ethnicity.
Correct. So, would it be okay if we were to just point it out, as Beth mentioned, during the presentation, not necessarily have a slide for it? Or is the council feeling very strongly that we need to have that
Yeah, I would
slide in
suggest
there?
just to like make sure that the framing is right, that you do it verbally. But if there is follow-up, then perhaps there can be a follow-up presentation that you could send to me that I could just send out, something like that.
Any other questions?
Yeah, can I ask, Beth, you mentioned this is going to get posted online. Are you afraid the government is going to like look at it and ding, the Department of Public Health, even if the community asked for it?
I hope I'm wrong. I just know there are some like weird parts of the public and the government who like do scour the internet for things and use AI and various other things. And I'd just rather not have any funding at risk. Especially like under ART, like there was like no difference across like the race ethnicities. You know, like if there is a substantial equity difference, like it needs to be discussed because that could affect planning council allocations. But if there's no substantial like substantive meaning to the difference, I think it's just best to not have it findable for the moment. But that's my new cowardly position. That's not like what I've thought all along.
I'd
So
say pragmatic
hopefully.
rather than cowardly.
I just don't want to invite trouble over things that I don't know this council is already ex incredibly well informed on these things. And we can answer things verbally or follow up in any format. And just this is the one that gets posted online.
Could we maybe have a separate slide that people can request at the meeting? I just feel like if somebody, if I just, trans people, from all my experiences, want to see numbers about themselves when they give information and they feel like they don't get things back. And, if a couple of trans advocates show up and start questioning that, I just feel like that's a shitstorm we don't want to deal with.
But
I am.
what about disclosing it? I mean, in reality, I mean, I'm all for it, you know, to be inclusive and to be super transparent. And however, no agency, no governmental agency is actually doing any reporting of what the order establishes currently. So I think that by us asking Beth and Floor to actually provide us even with something as a secondary, creates issues for the city and county, you know what I mean? And specifically for HHS. And I don't want to carry that. I mean, the state is not even, you know, I work for the state and we're not even collecting that data anymore, unfortunately. And it's inflammatory to me, absolutely. But we need to be mindful of the times that we're living, for sure.
Chuck, I'm going to have to jump in if I could. I've had my hand up for a little
Oh,
while,
okay, I didn't see it.
Sorry,
But that's
Bill.
okay. Just trying to figure out what the process should be here. I think Beth really elegantly illustrated the conundrum we find ourselves in. Things are changing quickly and in not the right direction, and we do have optimism that they will change back. So the question is, to what extent does it make sense to take a risk? And no one has a complete crystal ball. So what I would say that hasn't already been said here, the issue is what gets published and what gets submitted to the federal government, not what we share. So if there was an additional slide at the ready, or not a slide, but a paper print of something, or if they're prepared to speak about it, then you guys can continue to ask for all that information. But the extent that we're doing as official documents and they are put it posted on the website, I think there's a real risk. And I think that, it's been a while since we've talked about, we'll talk with the trans community. And so I also think they also are aware, there'll be a diversity of opinion, and that's certainly good to check in. I get leery when we ask one or two trans people to weigh in for their entire community or communities. But for the most part, people want to feel safe and protected. So I think it's maybe also a different time between visibility and safety. So, but to propose something going forward, how about it looks like something like it's not included in the presentation, but there's another handout at the ready, or that Flora is prepared to give you guys the data verbally.
That sounds good. Andre, did you have a question?
Yeah, I think I want to echo what the other participants said. We have a target on our backs. Blue city in a blue state with a very mercurial administration or an executive. And so I think anytime they may do something that throws a wrench in the machine, and it may be completely off wild, but I think in the meantime, the whole population will suffer. So I think we should just take all matter just as an for an take an abundance of caution. That's just my two cents.
I definitely don't want to get anybody in trouble or, have. I think I like Bill's idea of having a slide on or a handout on the side that's not connected to the document that'll be posted. Because I still think just saying verbally, that's not going to cut it with the community. That's just my opinion.
I agree, having a separate would be helpful to have reference. And I think acknowledging, like exactly what Beth was saying, these are the reasons why we're doing this to protect any, just really, I think people know, but I think having that data though is important for people to. So I agree, having maybe something separate that is not part of the main. And I appreciate Beth, you all looking out for that. I think that is incredibly important. Not cowardly, pragmatic, and really about protection of people. So I appreciate that.
Any other questions?
I have a question. Is this something that's being done across the board for SFDPH? Kind of like a, or just so I understand, because then I have to go back to, my leadership to see what we're publishing online as well.
No, this is just a case by case, presentation by presentation choice. It's possible John's summary sheets in a few minutes will make another choice. But we just like we're freshly engaging with the questions and the things that are emerging, and we're feeling conservative. Not in any particular risk. Like, and we're just in a lucky position locally in San Francisco, which may or may not translate to the other counties where we have a lot of local funding. So we don't have to change the services on the front end at all, because we can switch funding sources to still remain compliant as things emerge in ways that we wouldn't have planned. But yeah, so no, the department as a whole hasn't made a policy on this yet. I don't know if or if they will. Like, we're a pretty activist department, so I don't know that they'd come down in the same way as we are on this particular presentation suggesting. Yeah, so we don't have a firm policy even within HHS. Like, we're just kind of responding as things
But now we
happen.
do have city attorneys looking into this all the time and reviewing all our funding notifications and the policy clarifications. So it's a bit of a moving target. So if you do take it up with your leadership. And they want to go to your guys' city attorney. We could certainly ask if our city attorney is willing to talk about it. So we're definitely doing stuff to protect the funding, and the city and county has done a number of lawsuits against this. So we are
And
careful with that as well.
Na and Anna from your other counties, if you would like the notice of awards from us, if your attorneys want to review any thing, just let us know, because that's we're sub-recipient on some things, and we sometimes ask for the notice of awards to review just in case anything gets slipped in, if we need to dissent in any way.
But there's no concerns about, like, if in October, when Marin County presents our data, right? And we do have those slides and those data points. Is there a concern? Because then we're tied to the EMA. And then, yeah, so I guess I would just want to know in advance before we present at the council.
I mean, I think technically that's up to this committee, not just us in HHS. And I don't know if anybody's really ready to make a firm decision on this, because there's just things on all sides. Yeah, so I think it's the same set of choices. Like, it will be posted online. And like, we're not really supposed to be talking about gender at the moment, but we still do. So I don't know, maybe this committee should discuss. I don't know that we in HHS feel strongly enough about it to make a recommendation. I don't. Bill, do you?
No, I'd suggest you've heard what we have suggested, and I agree that the committee should also be a part of it. We're just erring a little bit on the side of caution and choosing the battles that matter. So to the extent you put something that will then become reflected in the minutes and get posted online, whether you're a recipient or a sub-recipient, it would be a similar kind of scrutiny about the award, because that's what they try and do. They try and hold up or reduce the award. So I would be slightly stronger than Beth, and he will model a little different. I would recommend against it, but again, I think it's a decision this committee could make. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know how sophisticated when they run the algorithms to look for words, how much they're doing it, and who even knows what will happen past the midterms. I'm hoping things will be very different. But we've decided to err on caution for stuff that feels like there's other ways to get you guys the information that the get the Planning Council the information needs.
Great. Thanks for presenting, Flora and Beth. If there's no other questions, then we'll say thanks and we'll see you at the meeting.
Oh,
Go ahead, Mark.
one
Go ahead,
small
Mark.
thing, Flora.
Yes.
On the slide with the age breakdown, I think the colors didn't match for Marin, like 65 and older. The blue was a lot darker than than the key. So I just want to take a look at that. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for ca capturing that. I'll make sure they match for sure.
Okay,
Thank you.
Mark.
And thank you for your work
Yeah.
on this. Thank you to Anna and to Na, because I know they sent in work. So thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just said thank you to Anna and Na for their
No,
work. And
I meant Mark. He was,
I'm sorry.
yeah, we couldn't hear Mark.
Okay.
Still can't hear you, Mark. No.
You want me to liberate, Mark? I'm very good at that.
Well, I could say, Mark, if you're on a Windows computer, there's a chance you might have to restart one, two, or three times in Teams. Oh, this is Zoom. Maybe you're fine.
Yeah.
We're still waiting on John, so.
I'll John Ainsley, I'll check and see if he's fine any
Yeah.
calling now. Give me one sec. I'll just go off for a sec.
Well, thank you, everyone. And if there's any other comments or suggestions, feel free to reach out and we can address as necessary. And I appreciate everyone's feedback and understanding.
Great.
Thank you,
Thank you.
everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
So Bill's checking on John, so we'll just wait a couple of minutes. But it is great that everybody on the committee is showing up for the committee meetings. That's fantastic.
Okay. Hi, Chuck. I just left him a voicemail as well as a text. Hopefully, he'll get back with us soon.
Okay.
We were texting really early this morning because we're still on a little bit on East Coast time. So hopefully, he didn't start early and space this meeting. Hopefully, he'll join us in a second.
Okay.
Also, Natalie, side question, is there any chance you know this presentation in case we need a backup?
No.
No? Okay.
I don't even
Has
have it.
John
Yeah.
sent the slides to anyone yet?
I'm not sure that it's.
Look at his files because he's very organized. Just a second.
I haven't heard about it since we discussed working on it, so I'm not even sure what the
Okay.
status is.
Let me see.
Yeah, I actually had thought maybe there was a decision, Mark. You can remember that we were going to put this off for a little bit pending mature data or corrected data when they fix the problems in HCC.
Think that was the quality
That was for
presentation.
quality in July, yeah.
Quality in July. Okay.
Ah, that's the one. I see some of the data from this year, and I can find the presentation from last year, and we could show that and ask if any changes are desired, potentially. Would that work?
Yeah, because the last 3, 4 years, he's been doing it basically the
Yeah,
same
he did a new
format.
format a
So,
few years ago, and it's been pretty consistent. Okay,
yeah.
shall I screen share? And I apologize, I'm through VPN the way I opened it.
Sure, until he gets here.
Let's see. I'm in a little trouble navigating my Zoom.
Oh, I
Let's
did
see.
hear back from John. He thought we were doing the service summary sheets in September. So he could pop in
Oh.
now. Is a plan to do them this month?
Where'd Mark run off to?
I'm pretty sure it's September as well because I'm helping him present and I'm not here for this
Okay.
month.
See, I
Okay.
think, yeah, okay.
Then we'll take that as a we'll take that back to Mark and see what's happening there. And then he's not on either. But
Chuck,
Kat,
let
you
me make
can.
a resuggestion. Maybe have Beth share last year. Let's assume it's been rescheduled to September. So that
Okay.
way, if Mark has a different understanding or it doesn't work to move it to September, at least you guys have had some eyeballs on it and been able to make it. And maybe Beth could just do a super quick presentation. Take
Okay.
that idea.
Yeah.
All right. Let me know if I've screen shared in an acceptable way in a minute. Can you guys see? I know it's very small. So I know he started working on it because his backup file exists for this year. But generally speaking, this is a 74-page beautiful, beautiful report. It's very extensive. Sorry, I'll just show you the bridge for some reason. So there's going to be, I'll just go very quickly. So there's going to be an overview. It's usually organized around some information up front and then by core services and support services. And you guys are all probably quite familiar with what the core services and support services are. He typically arranges it by the most recent year's Planning Council prioritization, which I think didn't change last year to this year. So it might be the same order. So it starts with
Correct.
outpatient temporary health, mental health, and then goes down from there. And then it goes to the support, emergency financial assistance, food bank, et cetera. So there are, and I think these are all, they all have data. So there's 13 core and it looks like more than that support services, but I didn't get to the bottom page very effectively. And then he gives an overall overview of our budget. And this is a pretty important pie chart to say what's included in his summary sheets. And this is an analytic choice that he makes, or we collectively make, to include all of the funding sources, not just part A in the service summary sheets. And I believe it's only focused on San Francisco and not San Mateo and Marin, although I'm not sure of that. So that we'll have to double check with them. But so all the San Francisco funding sources are included in all the rest of the tables because we like to look at like kind of the whole everything HIV health services funded because a lot of the local general fund, the great majority of that is really add back from once prior ran my Part A, so it's a very similar funding source. And so the funding sources that he likely plans to include again are Part A, ending the epidemic, Part B, Part C, general fund, and a subset of general fund called Getting to Zero, that also is for people with HIV. Because getting to zero HIV infections is the rest of that phrase. Then there's some more information on how things are spent for the core services and the support services. And then some overall demographic information I think he includes for like the whole same from Floor's presentation for all of EMA, it was like 6,139. It's going to be around 5,500 clients for just San Francisco. And he says, you know, like, so this is last year. So he talks about gender identity. This might change the sex at birth, race, ethnicity, and how it compares to some of the other locations. Then some age information. I'm sorry, my size of the screen is not working out great with this. And then he some years does a little more focus on the people who are over 65 and sort of trends. This looks less dramatic than most of the charts we have for this. Usually our aging charts look very dramatic. So I don't know if he'll pick the same presentation. He on his own might pick a different presentation for that. Client housing. Oh, I think so. Age, housing status, race, ethnicity, viral suppression. This he's gonna have the same challenge. It's in September, so maybe it'll be fine for reporting from HCC. But
I
if
think that's the
not,
reason why Beth, why we decided to go September.
okay, yeah. So he might leave this one out if it's not accurate, or it might be accurate by then. I think it likely will be accurate by then. They're actively working on it at the state right now. And then, so I'll show an example or two. So he. I think we are asked to report every single category in some kind of way. Here's a UOS UDC table, and here it's we have a lot of contracts and internal MOUs with other parts of the Department of Public Health. And so I think I'm a little confused on what these numbers. I would like to think oral healthcare means there's four funded programs, but I think there's three.
No,
Oh, maybe they're funding other
it's a
counties.
priority number there, Beth, if you look at the
Ah,
top.
thank you. Okay. That's great. Okay. So then, so we don't fund in our county any ADAP directly. So there's no US UDC and so on and so forth. But one thing we fund a lot of is outpatient imagery health services. So there's 22,000 units of service for almost 3,300 clients. Similarly, there's quite a bit of dental, 2,100 plus services for 733 clients. And then, so there'll be a table like this for support services, I'm sure, down the line when we get to that section. Then going into, there's usually a roughly three-page overview of each service category. There's a little bit of information about what the service category includes. Outpatient ambulatory health services is typically doctor, nurse practitioner, physician assistant, and nurse, not so much medical assistant or lab draws. And he usually does a pretty map of some sort of where the programs are located. And I think they're sized based on, obviously, we don't talk about agencies, but you might be able to guess what's the bigger ball, like which thing is a large density.
You know,
And
Beth,
then yeah.
I'm gonna suggest maybe just do an even higher overview so that there's still some freshness when they see the slides. Maybe just do it quicker, even quicker, like one or two sentences per slide.
Well, I'm only going to do a couple more slides. So I might go some depth, but very few slides. So then for outpatient ambulatory health, oops, I went too far. So that was the overview of the programs we fund. And then he'll have deliverables for units of service and UDC. And there's the contracted. Then the delivered, and the delivered is truncated. So any program that over-delivered, he doesn't actually count that. So this is somewhat of an understatement, so that we can see anywhere there's some programs that are going under it. So this particular one, last year's data, it went pretty well, it looks like. I mean, not 100% of US, but looks pretty close. And then there's some information about the budget, and I guess I won't go into detail on that, but like which parts are funding it, which funding source. And how much of it? So there was, it looks like a little over 200,000 unspent in this service category. That's where some of the unspent money comes from. And then there'll be some demographics. This, again, like Flora's presentation, this might look slightly different in the gender identity space. Age, these maybe we should stop for a second and ask if these categories look okay to people. He might have different options of reporting from HCC, but he'll try to do the same thing if possible, unless you guys ask for a different breakout. And then race, ethnicity, and viral suppression. Viral suppression, we'll see about that one. There's a small chance it'll just be demographics and not viral suppression this year. And that, there's a little more viral suppression data last year on this one. I don't think he does that for all service categories. And then all the rest of the service categories have the same three or four slides. And at the very end, I'm not sure. Just acknowledgments. So, any general comments about what you want to communicate back to John about if there's anything he should change for this year, aside from things related to it's now out of HCC?
I don't see any hands, so.
Can you go back to ambulatory care and the three pages there? Can you just do that one more time? Just want to make sure that this is
Yes, so an overview of what the service category is and
Got
like the
it. Yeah.
programs anonymized,
Yeah.
but like what their features are.
Deliverables and budget.
Deliverables.
Got it. Yeah.
And I think the deliverables is pretty key to the summary sheet, so I think we wouldn't want to leave that out if possible.
No.
The budget information is kind
Yeah.
of good to know so people don't assume it's all Ryan White Part A,
That's very
but
important. It's part of the mandate.
and the allocated and expended is also, I like that one. I hope that's okay to keep. And then demographics.
Demographics. Yeah. Okay. Which might change,
That's
obviously.
probably going to be sex at birth or left out. And then age again, I just haven't talked to John about the age brackets, whether he can get these same ones from HCC,
No,
but we can
Beth,
give him.
those were age brackets that last year when we spoke about it, he and I, that's what was commonly available because I was looking at by decades, and that's the breakout that the CAN report provides.
Okay, great. And then race ethnicity and viral suppression with the caveat of not positive about that one. I don't know if we need all this history, but it's cool to have, but it is a lot of detail for every service category.
Yeah, it seems like if that's something like I just don't know how much people will be looking at it on a category by category basis to see like, well, what's the
Right.
viral suppression happening here for the client of this particular service category? Like, how is that useful outside of actual ambulatory care in some ways? But
Yeah.
on duplicated clients to see what rises or falls, I think is very important. You know, it's here also, I think in this presentation in particular, where unfortunately, like the lack of seeing trans women will, I think, is a like kind of hits because this is obviously very useful to see like, well, which service categories are this particular population that's at risk using the most and where there is the most need. So I just want to acknowledge that's a shame.
Mark, one option could be let's see how the presentation happening in August goes, and if you know it feels like that is really important information and it works for us to have something that's not in the slide set but an addendum of paper, printed paper things that aren't part of the official record, we could look at that again.
Okay, any other questions? I don't see any hands
There,
up.
sorry, yeah, I was just curious
Go
around
ahead.
age. Is there no way to break it out? I mean, because I'm just curious. Like, I'm curious because I know the population is aging. Like, the difference between the health needs of a 65-year-old to a 75-year-old is dramatic. And I feel like just lumping it into that one category is, you know. When we know that we have the largest population of HIV positive people that are aging into, you know, over 50, over 60, 65, 70,
You know,
you know.
TJ, I think that actually would be that kind of information would be good maybe in a separate presentation. Like
Okay.
as far as a snapshot of the actual services, I do think this fits the purposes, right? Because it does show 65 over. That wouldn't necessarily the difference between 65 to 75 and 75 over wouldn't necessarily, I would think, impact decision making around prioritization or resource allocation when it comes to a particular service category. But I'm not saying that information isn't valuable and useful. But I think maybe for a separate one, we can ask, like, can we explode this out a bit more? Can we just see what our aging population looks like? Hopefully.
I could add a couple other quick points on it, TJ. At least last time it was really hard. It was just a lot of work to break it out by decades, and John has to pull it. But I will ask him again, and particularly if there's, we have probably will have more time. So, Mark, we were having a discussion. I think the thought was at least John and Natalie were under the impression this was a September presentation and not an August presentation. Is that correct?
It's an August one. Yeah.
All right, so something got off on the communication on that. So we should first make a decision. John can pull it together, but it's going to be quick, and he is very, very busy now. So do you think we could push it back to September, or does this create a gaping hole?
It does kind of create a gaping hole, yes. Yeah, I did let John know about this a bit ago. It was in September last year because remember there was a particular trip that had to happen.
Okay. So
But
John said he can't
normally
pull
we
it
get that at
together.
one point. Yeah.
So I think that so then there's a question about the viral suppression.
Yeah.
But also
But you
the
know what? I don't want to be like hard and fast about this. I mean, it does create a gap in our August whatchamacallit, our August meeting. But of course, that gap just means people leave earlier, which I don't think is the end of the world for people.
No.
If we look at resource allocation meeting in September, we can cut down all of the general updates basically, and just leave it as two big presentations. So we still have our epi, of course, and this presentation. We actually won't have a needs assessment presentation, so that kind of we can pull that one out. That will not be ready by September. And then after that, those two things we can do prioritization and allocation. So now that I think about it, if people don't mind having a shorter August meeting, please hold the tears. Like that could happen. I think the main thing is that we get our epi slash HCC and our service category information prior to prioritization allocation. That is the main thing that we need to do. And September, we do it literally before it on the agenda. So if this is something that is going to like make John feel under the gun and shorten his lifespan, we can move it there and just have a shorter August meeting.
Mark, I think that would be appreciated only because what he is doing is all the funding notifications and all the contract monitors are monitoring for all the contract modifications for all of the contracts and building them out. And he's our kind of our main guy. And when he's completely under, then Beth steps in. So he isn't there yet, but I think not far from it.
Yeah,
So if you
okay.
guys are okay, we could do a bang on job in September. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, the group's fine. I'm
So
fine.
yeah,
September.
okay. So TJ, the other thing I'll just to share with you about the age division stuff, because I spent a lot of time hanging out in HIV and aging at the conference, and it isn't, I've been asking a lot of questions, and actually people, it's, you know, it's, there's a lot of subtleties to it, but the 50 to 65 group of people are noticing is just the role of social isolation and depression. And then really at 65 is when you start to see a lot of the independence, ADLs, and other sorts of things really start to kick up there. And even then, more salient necessarily than when someone is 65 or 70 is whether they've been living with HIV for 20 years or 40 years. So even then, it gets a little complex. But I am, for what it's worth, seeing 65 is kind of the number people are starting to think about where you really need all of those additional assessments and other stuff that seems to be where practitioners are kind of focused at this point. So you will get this to say the 65 is probably a good number in other ways to look at stuff.
Okay, thank
And
you.
I can also answer about the question about how long it would take, because Floor did that for the ARIES presentation, and it took a long. There's no canned presentation for the right age ranges, so she had to download a report of all the things and like classify all the people, and to do that by service category, I don't even know for sure if that report is limitable by each service category. So it would be much easier to do, as Mark is suggesting, for the whole, like across service categories, and or for specific service categories if you're like curious about is mental health different, or yeah, it would be easier to do on a like up to five basis if that's possible, rather than for all of them.
Yeah, that would be an interesting presentation. We'll talk.
Okay, if there's nothing else, then the next meeting for us will be September 8th, 3 to 4:30 p.m. And we'll see everybody at the main meeting at the end of the month. All right, have a
Bye.
great day.
Thank
Oh,
you. Thank
before
you.
we
Before we break, there was the one thing I was
go
trying to
ahead.
communicate before my audio went out. We can talk about this more in October when we do look at Anna and Na's piece, but I know that I feel like I would just want to, I think DPH is a little hesitant. I would definitely like to strongly recommend a parallel when it comes to what we were talking about, just because it is, we are all one EMA, and it all does go out on the website. So that's just my very strong recommendation, is that like that if that information is shared, it's shared in a similar way to San Francisco. Yeah.
And that is just for you guys to know that what state is doing is two versions of stuff. So it does seem it's not it wouldn't just be San Francisco's strategy, but State Office of AIDS also does it.
Thanks.
Okay, everybody. Then we'll see you end of the month at the main meeting. Thank you.
Bye
Bye,
everyone.
Bye everyone. Thank you.
bye-bye.